Hi everyone, it's Colin, and I am, of course, the host and CEO, whatever you want to call it, of Fandom Fellowship. This episode is myself and my friend Bubba talking about comics and media. Initially, we had planned to talk about the Snyder Cut, as this was recorded around the time that a bunch of news had come out about the Snyder Cut, but we kind of went off the rails, and yeah. This was originally conceived as a YouTube video, so if you're wondering why it's not exactly set up as a standard podcast, that's why. And the first few episodes, you know, of course, are going to be like that until we sort of find our footing as a podcast. But please enjoy what we have for you guys and just sit back, relax, and enjoy us discussing comics and media. So once again, I'm Colin, and it's me, myself, and Bubba talking. So please enjoy. And this is my good friend Bubba. Say hello.
Hello. Hi. What's up?
So we're just going to be having him with just audio, so you can continue to look at me while hearing his beautiful voice. So the first thing we're going to talk about is comic news of the week. So big news today is we just got our She-Hulk actress announced, and I'm just going to look up the name to make sure I'm not completely butchering it, because I know I'm going to. But what do you think of her, just as the She-Hulk actress?
She looks good as a gen, like, pre-Gamma. Like,
right.
Like, she's definitely, like, small, which is, like, what I'd expect, so.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they have a good CGI budget to make her, like, ripped.
Yeah. So, yeah, the name is Tatiana Maslany, and I think you were correct about that before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to be good. Like you said, she's got the look. And if they do it similar to how they did Banner, and specifically, like, Avengers, mm-hmm. Age of Ultron, and Endgame, I think we'll have a really good one. Because she's got the face for it. I haven't seen her in anything, but based on what I've heard on her performance in Orphan Black, she 100% has the acting chops for it. And I'm excited. I'm excited.
Me too. I'm excited either way.
I've been more into She-Hulk since I started reading Jason Aaron's Avengers run. She's super great in there. Mm. And so if we get that kind of thing, and I'm excited.
I've always been more of a bigger fan of Jen than I've been of Bruce, frankly. So I think it's because
Bruce's character is just so much of the same, where it's like, oh, everything's bad, and I'm sad, and I don't want to be the Hulk anymore, whereas Jen really
embraced it. It's the same,
it.
Like, Jekyll and Hyde conflict in most stories.
Until Immortal Hulk, it was the same thing for, you know, 60 years, and Immortal Hulk, I think, is so popular because they were able to shake up the formula.
For sure.
I just started reading Immortal Hulk, I read the issue zero one shot, like I mentioned earlier. It was really, really good. It was a whole like backstory of his father and everything. I don't know if you checked that out, but
I'm like 10 issues behind, but yeah. It's such a great series.
It's just a total one shot. It's issue zero, but it just came out this week, okay. So I definitely recommend going out of your way to pick that up. And the art style
Check
is really
out.
Good too, because there's like the first third is done in a very 60s Kirby-esque art style. And it's Bruce's whole childhood and growing up, and it's very cool. It's very cool. It changes his relationship with his father a lot.
Sounds awesome.
But I do love She-Hulk. She's a lot of fun. She's a very enthusiastic character. I think it's hard to not like her. And if Tatiana does a good job, I think fans are going to have a hard time not liking her. That. And then, of course, the DC and Marvel solicitations for the month of December came out this month, which is something we were all really excited about, of course. Did anything really stick out to you from those solicitations?
Well, I'm excited about X of Swords coming up. I'm
right.
really excited about Endless Winter seems really cool. I'm excited to see Andy Lanning coming back into the DC fold.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
and seeing what the aftermath of Death Metal is going to be like. Yeah,
I mean, I haven't been following DC nearly as much as I've been following Marvel, but Death... Because DC feels very hard to get into right now. It feels really dense, so I'm kind of waiting for a little bit of a soft reset after Death Metal to start hopping into things with new number ones. Mm. Marvel, I have had a bit of difficulty adapting to, but I've just been picking up trades as I get the single issues, so I'm slowly building myself back up towards it as I read the books that I have. I'm just looking through the solicitations here on Games Radar, because they have it really easy. The Batman-Catwoman series, I've always liked Batman and Catwoman as a couple, so I'm excited to see them in an ongoing. If that is an ongoing...
It's a 12-issue maxi, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, is it a ongoing or is it a maxi? I will probably end up getting that, whether I get that in as it comes out or as a trade. I like them enough as characters. And let's see, back up at the top here. Written by Tom King, and I mean, we all like Tom King. So,
especially his 12-issue stories.
Yeah, that's what I've really heard, is he's very good when he's limited to that 12 issues, because he's able to kind of focus in and just do a great job. And there's a variant cover by Jim Lee, so I think I'm going to have to grab that. It's Black Label with cardstock covers, so...
Is it going to be the huge Black Label books, or...?
I don't think so. Just looking at it here, it's written by Tom King, art and cover by Clay Mann, and I don't know enough about him. It's a 32-page book, listed for $4.99 US, on sale the 1st of December, and cardstock covers. And so, and this one has the Phantasm in it. That's what the Phantasm tease. Yeah, that's a pickup for sure. There's no way I'm not.
It's funny that was I think that was originally solicited like in 2019 for January. Yeah. Now it's finally coming out in December.
Everybody really loves Mask of the Phantasm, and I mean, obviously, it's so good. We're gonna have to do that as a movie night on the server one time. But Mask of the Phantasm is amazing.
Sure. It's on Netflix too.
It's on Netflix. Is it on Netflix now? I'm gonna have to
look at that. In America. In the U.S.
I don't know what we have in Canada.
It's all different now.
Yeah. And then, so for Marvel Comics, obviously the big news coming out of their solicitations for December, King in Black. Yep. I don't know if I'm excited about it.
It's the big Venom event. It's the everything Donny Cates have been leading up to that's going to shake the Marvel universe to its core, as they say in every event.
Exactly. It's they say it in every event. And I don't know if I can get excited enough about symbiotes to get the issues. No. And my one thing with... Oh my goodness. And it's King in Black 1 is $5.99, 56 pages. Wow. They're pushing this hard. It is written by Donny Cates, and I do like Donny Cates a lot. I've been enjoying his Thor, and I picked up the first few issues of his Venom when I was getting comics back in 2016.
His Venom started out awesome. Like, the first, like, 12 issues are great.
Yeah.
And it kind of petered out towards, like, absolute carnage, and now it's kind of, like, in the meh. I'm still reading it, but
yeah,
it's in the background of all the books that I'm reading.
Yeah, so I don't know how I feel about King in Black. I'll have to keep an eye out for things, see if it's something that I'm going to want to pick up. But the first two issues of King in Black are coming out in December. And then, oh my goodness, really, they're doing a Symbiote Spider-Man tie-in to King in Black, with Peter David and Greg Land. That I don't feel confident about, mostly because I hate Greg Land.
I think everyone does.
Yeah, I mean, one of the first comics ever had.
The Symbiote miniseries they've been doing has been pretty okay, though. So.
I'm not going to credit that to Land, though. I'm going to credit that to Peter David being a dang good writer.
Yeah.
Like, Peter David, I think I have an X-Men book by him. Like, he did an adaptation of Joss Whedon's first arc on X-Men. Look at the Astonishing X-Men Gifted, and he put that into prose form, and it's really good. I think that's Peter David. Give me 2 seconds. It's on the bookshelf behind me. Yeah, it's Peter David. As the camera just watched me go and look at my bookshelf. Yeah, it's Peter David. He's really good. Black Cat number one. I'm intrigued. I like Black Cat. I've always liked Black Cat as a character. I think she's a lot of fun. But at the same time, everything's tying into King in Black.
Yeah.
So it's just like, can I get excited about it when everything's a tie-in right now? Then, of course, we've got the Immortal Hulk coming out, and that's got the Thing on the cover, which I think a lot of other people were really big on.
Yeah. Al Ewing is like... Him and Chip are my next choice for Fantastic Four, so...
Oh, that'd be good, that'd be good.
Seeing him work on any Fantastic Four character is exciting.
Yeah. I mean, Fantastic Four, I feel like, should be a much easier book to write, than it ends up being for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was thinking about this on my drive to work today. It's like, I feel like to write any comic character, you need to have a sense of them that you can distill them into, like, three words. And for Fantastic Four, the three words I distilled them to were adventurers, family, scientists.
Yep.
And it's like, if you go and your vision for Fantastic Four is those three core points, I think you've got a good Fantastic Four book on your hands. But
definitely.
I think people try too hard to make them superheroes. Because in my mind, yes, they're fun. Yes, they have superpowers. Yes, they're in the Marvel Universe, but they're not superheroes. They're adventurers. They're not like, oh, let's fight crime. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, I'm going to explore this dimension. Oh, no, something bad happened.
And the forefront is that they're a family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yeah, those
it's
are the
all about the family dynamics.
Yes. And, I mean, like, I remember reading as a kid, like, the thing, it's like, before they ever even got their powers, you know, their brother and sister and Reed and Sue have long been together and, you know, Ben and Reed are like brothers, and Ben and Johnny have the adversarial relationship. There's so many dynamics between the characters before they even get their powers. And that's the most important part of the characters, in my opinion. So those are the solicitations. That is the just brief overview of comic news for the week. Now, for the meat of our segment, when we're going to spend a while breaking down one topic. And that topic is the Snyder Cut.
Yes, the Snyder Cut.
And,
hashtag release the Snyder Cut.
It's the Snyder Cut. It's the fans of the Snyder Cut. It's the detractors of the Snyder Cut. It's the hype surrounding it. And it is Zack Snyder himself. It is such a mess at this point. I was not excited when it was announced. I was actually pretty pissed off.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of giving, it was appeasing a group of people that are more of a nuisance.
Yes. Yes. I'm very much of the mind that, yes, as fans, we have stake in what we watch and in what we do, mm-hmm. but we don't get to control it. And
yeah.
it felt like releasing the Snyder Cut was giving too much control to an overwhelmingly negative group of fans.
Especially and, funding it with $50 million at HBO yeah. Max. Like, that is a huge investment.
That's huge. And if they don't get any return, if they don't get the return on that, this is going to blow up in Snyder's face so badly.
Absolutely.
But I'm not hoping it fails. I want it to be
Me
good.
Me neither.
But if Justice League was a 5 out of 10, I think the Snyder Cut of Justice League is going to be a 6.5. Out of
yeah,
10.
It's not going to be that much of an improvement.
No. No.
Especially, it's going to be weird because it's like going to be like a Frankensteining of all these different things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be parts of Whedon's stuff that
no,
he's going to
no,
end up
Snyder
in.
No, Snyder has said multiple times, like, I'm not using anything I didn't shoot.
Hmm. Interesting.
He's burying Whedon stuff completely. But, I mean, Ray Fisher's been doing that too, so.
Yeah. That's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking just about...
That's a whole other episode.
We're just talking about the movie. I'm not nearly yeah. educated enough on what Ray Fisher's been talking about. I'm not going to go out here and say he's wrong. Mm-hmm. I just think the whole situation is crazy.
Same here.
But, no, I think what really bugs me with the Snyder Cut and what rubs a lot of people the wrong way isn't the existence of the cut or that it's happening. It's the fans.
Yeah. Well, I remember during Fandom, the one fan that came up to actually speak with Zack Snyder apparently is like really toxic on Twitter and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen some comments that are like borderline like racist. Oh, I don't want to go there, but
yeah, no, and
yeah,
and it feels like Snyder Cut fans, and I'm not. If you're a Snyder Cut fan and you're watching this or listening to this. Mm-hmm. That's okay. You can be a fan of it. You can push
Absolutely.
For it. You can want it to be good. But it feels
it's
like
the Phantom Menace. It's like you yeah. can not like Last Jedi and have plenty of valid reasons for not liking it.
Exactly.
But there's a certain amount of people who are like,
when you're going
out
of your way,
far.
When you're going out of your way on the internet to attack people who disagree with you, and to blindly praise what you want. In this case, blindly praise Zack Snyder. And blindly just talk about how BVS is the greatest piece of superhero cinema. which is objectively a bad take, I'm sorry. No, it's yeah, you're painting everyone with a bad brush now. So I'm not trying to paint all Snyder fans with the same brush, and yes, I just changed my headphones because of technical difficulties, so this is how I'm doing it now. I'm not trying to paint all Snyder fans with the same brush. The majority of them, though, it seems, are being horrible on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
They were basically spamming any other Warner Brothers or movie post with release the Snyder Cut, release the Snyder Cut. Oh, DC's putting out a Shazam movie? Or release the Snyder Cut, release the Snyder Cut. That was all they cared about.
It's also just, like, having a victimization complex about, like, Marvel and, like, Kevin Feige and, like, stealing ideas for Civil War and BVS. That all seems very far-fetched and conspiracy theory.
And, I mean, BVS is not an original idea. Okay? It's not.
It's not.
It's Dark Knight Returns done badly. It's Civil War is not an original idea. It's Civil War.
Done better.
Yeah. Super. it's Civil War where Tony doesn't suck. Where it's you actually understand Tony's point of view, and he's a much more sympathetic character, and I don't know if that's down to the Russo brothers being great directors, a great writing staff, or just the sheer greatness of RDJ. That's up for debate. And yeah, I'm a Marvel stan, so clearly everything I say about the Snyder Cut has to be taken with a grain of salt.
Absolutely.
But don't be a jerk on the internet. Shouldn't be a controversial opinion.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, in all fairness, the person who's being the biggest jerk on the internet about this is Zack Snyder.
Yeah, the Saturday morning cartoon comment.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately grinded my gears because most of the Saturday morning cartoons are better than your movie.
Well, I think of the Saturday morning superhero cartoons I've watched, like Spectacular Spider-Man, Wolverine and the X-Men, the Spider-Man and X-Men 90 series, Justice League Unlimited.
Batman the Animated Series. One of the greatest pieces of media of all time.
True, it's true. Batman the Brave and the Bold was great. Teen Titans, all of those things. You can't just paint Saturday morning cartoons with this brush that says, oh, they're for children. I have watched so many cartoons that, yes, are arguably their children's shows, but more specifically, they're shows that, you know, teach mature lessons in a cartoon format.
More adults watch anime than children.
Exactly.
Like,
right. And I don't know what the demos are for Justice League Unlimited, but I bet if you went and looked at them, you'd find a lot of adult fans, because they were pure representations of the characters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And Snyder, this is what I don't love about Snyder, is how relentless his fans are to, you know, rally behind him. And his Saturday morning cartoon line has now given them ammo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you say, oh, well, I don't like it. Oh, well, it's just because you're not mature enough and you just prefer your Saturday morning cartoons. Well, I mean,
it feels like such a gatekeeping thing, too.
Yes.
Like, somehow the comics I've been reading since I was little is all of a sudden not the real thing. And this Zack Snyder stuff is the real stuff.
Yep.
I don't get it.
It's dark and it's gritty.
Meanwhile,
and
it's very realistic. Surface level and not very smart either.
Yeah. And I mean, if like, even Marvel's not perfect, okay? They have way too many jokes. They don't let the serious moments breathe. There were things in Batman vs. Superman I really liked. There were things in Man of Steel I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't like is Zack Snyder's fundamental, especially with Superman, misunderstanding of the character.
Yeah. It seems like a theory that darker equals more mature.
Yes. And I blame the Dark Knight trilogy for that.
Yeah, but it fits Batman. It doesn't fit Superman.
Yes, and I like the Dark Knight trilogy. They're a good series of movies, but I've always said they're not good Batman movies. Because to me, that's not Batman.
Well, you miss the fantastical element of Batman when you make it more gritty and realistic.
I liked the gritty. What I didn't like was that he was essentially just an angry kickboxer.
Yeah.
It's to me, Batman is a detective. Batman has a family. Batman wants to do this. He needs to do this. Christian Bale's Batman didn't develop his own tech. He didn't solve mysteries. He just angrily punched people until he got what he wanted. It was a great movie series. They're very good watches. I do love Dark Knight. I love Dark Knight. Same. I love Batman Begins. I tolerate Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
But to me, those aren't Batman movies. Which is why I'm really excited for the Batman. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. I was about to change the subject.
Yeah, you can go. You can go.
Oh, I was just saying with the Batman, with the Dark Knight trilogy, I was like, I missed the gothic architecture in those movies. It's all very, like, real world.
Gotham City is not Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham City is not New York.
Metropolis, or Philadelphia.
Metropolis is New York, but better. Yeah. Metropolis, to me, I think of very futuristic technology.
What you'd imagine New York looks like in 2060 or something like that. Like,
and cleaner. Actually, Superman Man of Tomorrow, to kind of like circle back and circle the subject, Man of Tomorrow, have you seen it?
No, not yet. I'm really excited.
I recommend it. I bought it digitally because it was not available to rent. So I'm just like, guess I'll just buy it because I wanted to watch it. Super good interpretation of Superman. Love the art style, but Metropolis was glitzy. It was futuristic. It was big. It was bright.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham
That's what Metropolis
City,
should be.
Exactly. Gotham City, on the other hand, is dingy. It's dark. It's gothic. It's very old. It looks like, to me, the Waynes died and time stopped.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there hasn't been new buildings because the economy stopped because Wayne Enterprises was the economy.
It's going to be cool in the Batman, though. Apparently they're filming in like Liverpool and stuff and putting like a Times Square in like CGI, which sounds awesome because it's like you get that gothic architecture.
Yes, the brownstones, all that stuff. I'm based on the trailer for the Batman, which I'm probably going to have to watch a few more times. I'm looking forward to it. Riddler is such a good choice of villain. Mm-hmm. And we said this in, I think, episode 3 of Comic Nerds and Cars, but it takes a lot to do Riddler well. Jim Carrey's Riddler was not Riddler done well. It was Joker. No. But
You could say the same thing about Two-Face. Tommy Lee Jones is just doing Jack Nicholson.
But I don't want to say bad things about Tommy Lee Jones.
He might beat me up even though
exactly.
he's 80.
Like, even at age, whatever he's at now, I'm still more afraid of him than I am of most people. I'm just like, I don't know, man. He's Agent K, and he just looks so tough.
Yeah.
I love Tommy Lee Jones. But no,
Same here.
Aaron
He's
Eckhart.
Great in the first Avengers, too.
Don't even get me started on that. He was so good. Oh, my goodness. Just like complete quick detour, the Star-Spangled Man with a Plan, what is your plan today? That line, every time.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, yeah, it's... Joel Schumacher made all the Batman villains so silly, and Christopher Nolan made them all so real and grounded and took away the fun from them. I'm really hoping that Matt Reeves is able to manage a marriage of those two things.
Yeah.
Because, all of Batman's rogues functionally are criminals. Like, you don't get ones like... Spider-Man's villains or the X-Men's villains or the Avengers villains where it's like, I'm going to take over the world. Joker doesn't really want to take over the world. He just wants to steal things and have more money.
Well, he rarely has a plan. He's like pure anarchy.
Penguin just wants stuff. Mm-hmm. Two-Face just wants to prove how broken the system is. But they
Riddler wants to prove how smart he is.
Yeah, he just wants to outsmart Batman. They all have grounded motivations, but they're ridiculous people.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see, like, Riddler and Batman actually matching wits. I think that's going to be really good. But that, to me, is going to be a good Batman movie. And to me, Man of Tomorrow, to actually bring us back to our point, was a great Superman movie. Superman Returns, while I didn't love it, it captured
Superman.
It got
the tone.
It got the tone. I was thinking about this on my drive home from work today because I knew we were recording this. You could not at any point put the iconic Superman theme over a scene that Henry Cavill's done and have it feel right.
Yeah.
He does not embody that.
And they did it
that,
in Justice League 2017, and it didn't work.
Yeah, because you can't just be like, hey, here's the theme you like, that means he's Superman now. He has to act like Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And Joss Whedon took it almost a step too far.
Where it didn't make sense to be in the Snyder universe.
Exactly. You can have a Superman who is serious about what he does, but is still Superman. I think the one time Zack Snyder captured Superman for me was at the very end of Man of Steel. When he took the satellite down. And he's like, are you spying on me, General? It's like, oh, you know, we got to know where you're from. I'm from Kansas. And then he flies away. Like, he's like, I'm as American as apple pie. To me, that was Superman. Where he's like, it's a little bit cheeky, but he's like, you can trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He felt like a hero. And Henry Cavill is great. I want him to be Superman.
He could be a great Superman with a good script.
Well, and I mean, you take what he did in Man of Uncle, or Man from Uncle, not of, Man from Uncle, you take what he did in Mission Impossible Fallout, you take just his general personality, he seemed like the most affable guy on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
He should be, on paper, the best Superman ever. But Zack Snyder likes to make edgy things.
Yeah. He doesn't get Superman.
No, he doesn't. Like, he made Watchmen, which I didn't like, but I know a lot of people did. But I just don't like Watchmen in general.
I didn't like it as an adaptation of Watchmen, but that's a whole other story as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't like Watchmen, like the comic, the movie, the show, anything. It's too much for me. It's too dark. It brings me down a little too much. But I understand. It's very good, and I understand why people like it. It's just not my cup of tea. Sucker Punch, I actually liked. It was
interesting.
It was slick. It was stylish. It was by no means a great film.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a script that made sense, though. Did he write that movie?
Yes. Yeah, that was, if I recall correctly, the only movie he's done that was not an adaptation of anything that existed.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Because it's
probably his best movie, at least to me, would be 300.
I haven't seen 300, but that's kind of what I've heard, is that it was tight, it was filmed well, the script made sense. By the time you get to, like, Man of Steel made sense. That had a good, easy-to-follow story, it just didn't feel like a Superman story.
Well, Nolan helped write it. I think he helped, like, blueprint that movie.
I mean, Nolan also writes very confusing films. Tenet, for example. But, where was I going with this? Lost it. Right. Batman vs. Superman is borderline nonsensical at points.
Yeah.
And I've watched it 3 or 4 times. You cannot try and tell me that film was a masterpiece and it understood the characters. It didn't. It didn't. Batman was just angry the whole time.
Well, the way the conflict is resolved is so, like, contrived. Like, him bringing up the Martha thing, like, everyone makes fun of that, but it's like, why is that the thing that is going to resolve your conflict?
That, I don't actually have a problem with that. And here's why. I think Batman spent so much of the movie thinking of Superman as this invader, this alien, and hearing him call out the name Martha, his mother's name, and his mother's name, humanized him.
Yeah, I can see that.
For enough of a moment that Bruce could realize what he was doing. I really did not like Lex Luthor in that movie, though.
No, me neither.
Again, it was the case of...
I think Jesse Eisenberg could be a good Lex, too.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Whatever direction he got was so wrong.
Yeah, I don't know what Snyder was going for. And all that to say that now Snyder has this army of fans on his side who are all telling him how good the Snyder Cut is going to be, who are puffing him up, and now he's able to talk down to people.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I don't like that he is disparaging cartoons.
He's been doing this since BVS.
I haven't really kept up, but really?
Like, I remember in interviews, he was like, all this different stuff, like just talking about fans who don't really get. Meanwhile, there's nothing to get about his Superman that I don't think I already don't understand. You know what I mean? So
no, and
it's a very holier than thou attitude that he's always had since starting on DC movies.
And I mean, yeah, I think it's because like his movies cater to, or not cater to, his movies are liked by a very specific section of people. And those people are all very, very vocal about it. Mm-hmm. And so Snyder has this vocal contingent backing him up, and he feels like he's untouchable.
Right? Absolutely.
And he uses a lot of words to kind of cover and say, oh, well, I wanted to do this, this, and this, and people just didn't get that because people just, I don't know, want to be spoon-fed or something. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he has an understanding of why people like heroes.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I like heroes because the world is kind of a crappy place, especially this year, you know, as we can all tell. And heroes kind of showing a more idealistic version of things.
Mm-hmm.
Not, oh, look at how angry and gritty they are.
Yeah. It's like, I kind of miss when heroes, like, saved us.
Yeah.
Especially DC heroes in the movies.
Yeah, like, to me, Superman is, it is, I'm going to fly and I'm going to catch someone as they're falling.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I'm going to level city blocks.
Or break my villain's neck because I'm left with no other choice than the script put me in this situation.
Yeah, even that is something, again, that I've come to accept, that you can have him kill Zod.
Mm-hmm.
It was very clear, or sorry, it wasn't clear. We can infer that Zod wouldn't have stopped. Yes, Superman could have flown him away and thrown him somewhere else, and he would have kept going.
Is the Phantom Zone a thing in that movie?
I don't know. I don't remember. I haven't watched it in a while.
Probably Clark wouldn't know about it either.
Yeah. But even though this Zod was portrayed in such a way that it's like he would have got out and he would have kept killing. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so to have Superman faced with that choice, I would have liked to see the ramifications of it more, where you just see like a lot of guilt that it's like this is the one person left from my planet and I killed them. But I mm-hmm. didn't have a choice, and I don't want to do that ever again.
Yeah.
Right? And really wrestle with that. I think that would have helped people palate it a little more.
Yeah. It's also that trope in superhero movies where, like, the movie needs to end with your villain dead, because that is the final nail in the coffin of your movie. Yeah. While in a world with, like, interconnected universes, especially what they were setting up, it's like, why do you need to kill your villain? Like, you could always tease him.
Well,
for the future.
That's a problem that I feel like Marvel...
Marvel has a problem a lot.
Oh my goodness. The amount of good villains that they killed off just because, well, that's what you do, is you kill off your villain. Killmonger.
Made me a legit sigh in the theater.
Killmonger
could
have been
Claw.
Great. Claw. I wanted to see Claw fight Ant-Man.
Yeah.
At some point. And I'm kind of worried that they're going to kill off Kang.
Yeah, I hope they don't do that.
Because if you kill off Kang in an Ant-Man movie, that's a miss.
You got to put him in a Fantastic Four movie.
You got to put him in an Avengers movie. Like, if I don't get to see Captain Marvel fighting Kang at some point, what was the point of all this?
Mm-hmm.
But, the main point is the Snyder Cut is it a good idea? What do you think?
Well, I'm happy he's, like, getting his artistic vision out there, like, and I would have preferred this as, like, a special feature, but obviously you couldn't do that, because it's, like,
4 hours
long. You
need
all the special effects.
Yeah.
But I'm happy he's getting his vision out there. I just wish the fan contingent, were a little bit nicer about, like, the fact that people like different things, and people don't like this Snyder's vision of the DC universe, and
well, and that Snyder himself,
you know what I mean?
Was nicer about it. You know,
yeah,
I look at someone like James Gunn, who he'll see disagreements and be like, "Hey, we can all enjoy different things. That's okay." Right? Like, you might not like this, but and that's all right. Like, I like it and I hope you do too, but if you don't, that's fine. And Zack Snyder's like, "Well, if you don't like it, it's just 'cause I must be so much smarter than you and understand things better than you do. So you go and
I've read
enjoy."
more Ayn Rand than you,
Yeah.
so
I'm based. It's like, no. No, you're not.
I'm based and red-pilled and Big Chungus.
If you know what, if Zack Snyder calls himself Big Chungus, all is forgiven.
Well, he's another one who's like ripped,
Yeah,
isn't he?
I think so.
Like, I'm sure Zack Snyder could easily beat me up and throw me in my locker.
Yeah, and I think that was a discussion I saw people having is he's a jock.
Oh yeah, I have that in my notes.
Yeah. Okay. What's your point with that? That Zack's a jock.
I think, like, not to be gatekeeping, but he is like the most, he's gatekeeping in the other way, where he's like, "Oh, you're the nerd, like I'm
Yeah.
trying to bring this back to the true intellectuals, like you don't get it."
Yeah. And I don't think, not to downplay them, but I don't think comics or heroes were ever supposed to be intellectual. Like, not to that, not to the extent Snyder's trying to make them.
Well, they're more like a mythology or like,
Yeah. And
yeah.
you can be mythological and still be fun.
Absolutely.
You know?
I think
Yes.
Norse mythology and Greek mythology is like very like fun.
Oh, definitely.
They're just fun stories.
I love Greek mythology. I mean, it's crazy. But Whedon, I'm not going to say Whedon did a great job on Justice League either. He went way too silly and it t destroyed the tone of the film. And it
That works
wouldn't.
for Avengers. It doesn't really work for
Yes.
Justice
Exactly.
League.
Especially not in the situations they've been placed in previously.
Fighting Darkseid, you're not really making that many like
No,
puns and
because it's
stuff.
like by the time they were actually fighting Thanos, how many one-liners was Tony f spouting off?
Yeah.
He
But it's also
basically.
established in his other movies. He had two movies before then where he was like a smart aleck the whole
Yeah,
movie.
exactly. You don't be like, "All right, so Superman's really grim, and he's really grim, and now he's dead, but now he flies in a bright costume and says, I'm all about justice." Pow.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that is dissonance right there, my friend.
Tonal dissonance, yeah.
Doesn't make sense. Just very, very weird, I think, overall.
Yeah.
No. I'm not hoping this movie's bad. I don't want people to come away from this thinking that I
I
want the
hope the
Snyder Cut to
Snyder fans
fail.
are happy with what they get.
I'm gonna watch it. Of course I'm gonna watch it, and I hope I enjoy it. But I don't think it's gonna be nearly as good as everybody's hyping it up to be.
No. It's gonna be like a 4 out of 10 movie that's turned into like suddenly like 5.5 out of
Yeah.
ten.
It's not gonna be the masterpiece of filmmaking that makes Marvel weep and beg Zack Snyder to come work for them and changes everything. And Martin Scorsese is gonna retract all of his statements and say, "I was wrong, superhero films are the future." It's not gonna do that. Okay? Like, I'm sorry.
Actually, I wonder if Zack Snyder came to Marvel and did like a Wolverine film
Okay,
and
you know
just like let
what?
him.
That'd be
That actually
fun.
doesn't
That'd be
sound that
fun.
bad.
Look.
They didn't do like a really gritty character.
Don't let
That could
him write
work.
it, okay? Let him direct it.
James Gunn Snyder team up. James Gunn writes
Zack
it.
Snyder directs it.
Yeah.
They kill each other during production.
Yeah.
No. Let's go even better. Taika Waititi writes it. Zack Snyder
Oh
directs
no. Oh
it.
no. That's like opposites
Who
attract.
kills who first?
Yeah.
I don't. No, but Zack Snyder. And I got this from Sucker Punch. He is great at the slick, stylized action scenes. If he was given a Wolverine film with a
I
very
actually think
s
Gal Gadot, not Gal Gadot, Patty Jenkins almost does Zack Snyder's style better than him.
Really? Are you thinking like
Yeah.
specifically like the No
Like
Man's Land
Wonder
scene?
Well, yeah, like Wonder Woman has all those like slow motion scenes
Yeah.
that look like straight out of a Zack Snyder movie, and they look way better than anything in BVS.
That's true. That's true. I haven't watched Wonder Woman in a while. Yeah, just
the
kind
third
of.
act's a little whack.
It
but,
is. It is. It was really tight, and then it just kind of
still
fell apart a
entertaining.
little bit. I'm not at all looking forward to Wonder Woman 84.
Not at all.
No. To me,
I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be cool.
It looks really
not excited, but as excited as I am for most of the DC films.
It looks really cheesy.
I like that though. It's
but
the
it also
80s Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but it's also just so contradictory. It's like, oh yeah, I know. And then after World War One, Diana hid from everyone, except for this time in the '80s when she showed up and fought the cheetah and the Mandalorian.
Yeah,
it's like, what?
I am excited for Maxwell Lord though. Maxwell Lord,
yes.
Is an awesome character.
I am excited at this point. I'm almost excited for anything Pedro Pascal touches.
Yeah, Mandalorian season two.
Yes, exactly. If you guys are Community fans, he did a guest spot on the Community virtual table read.
Oh, that was so good.
It was so funny. He nailed it. And, yeah, I can't, there's words that were said in there that I can't say on this channel, but there were certain words he just lost his mind at, and it was great. I really like him.
That was my favorite episode of Community, too.
It's a
that
good episode. It's
an episode made me cry the first time I watched it.
Oh, 100%.
I watched it live.
Yeah. Yeah, same. But that's a whole other subject. We're not even talking about on the channel.
Got totally off the subject.
That might get cut out. No, but anything Pedro Pascal touches is really good right now. I do love Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman. I'm going to see Wonder Woman 84, but I'm just not like super hype for it.
Nothing in the DC movies coming up I'm like hugely excited for, but all of them look like stuff I'd see.
Shazam 2. I don't even need to know anything about Shazam 2 to know I'm going to love Shazam 2.
Yeah, but I'm hoping it's not like a Deadpool 2 situation where it's kind of like, oh, we got a sequel, but like the first one was so good. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why did we need a sequel? You know what I mean?
The first one was good, and we had like reins on us. But now that it did so well, for the second one, we have no reins.
Oh,
and we'll
overindulge
ourselves.
That's how Deadpool 2 felt to me.
Yes, I did not like Deadpool 2 at all.
I mean, I liked it, but it just wasn't as good as the first
one. Deadpool, the first Deadpool was a very tight film. It worked. It felt
it's one of my favorite superhero
it
origin
was very,
films.
Very, very good. It felt gritty, but also silly, and it balanced it very well. Deadpool 2 just went off the rails.
Yeah.
Xbox. I think they, as so often happens with like a surprise hit, the director gets a little quote unquote high on their own supply.
Well, it's a different director.
Was it?
Tim Miller did the first one.
Right.
And then I think David Leitch did the second one, and who I haven't seen his other stuff, but everything looked fine. It just felt like a very different.
I don't want
you have
to.
More of a budget.
But I feel like I have to blame Ryan Reynolds just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I love him, right? He's Canadian. Like, I have to love him. But I think he went a little too off the rails. And it's just like, just rein it in a little bit.
I agree.
I mean, other movies that I felt like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, as good as it was a little bit of the same thing. Where it's like
I disagree. I like Guardians 2 better than 1.
Really? I think I like Guardians
2. I thought it had a better villain in Kurt Russell. And
I agree. I will agree with.
The third act is so much stronger in the second one.
Yeah.
And the beginning opening scene, like where they're doing they're getting the batteries and they're fighting that giant squid monster.
It just
and the colors in that movie are just gorgeous.
That's true. The color grading on that movie was, that was the first time the MCU felt like comic books brought to life.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and with,
like
they had
truly.
The Watcher in that movie. It's like one of the best Stan Lee cameos.
I think my real problem with it is it just went off in so many different directions.
They separated the crew a lot.
Yeah, and I don't think
which I
loved
think
that.
Was a problem for some people.
One movie that's coming out.
If you haven't, watch Lindsay Ellis's video on Guardians 2. I think it'll change your mind a little bit on
I will watch the
heart of that movie.
I recommend Lindsay Ellis's videos to everybody, so I will definitely watch that. Lindsay Ellis and Jenny Nicholson, both strong influences for
absolutely.
This channel, as well as Comic Pop. Please go subscribe to them if you like anything I do. Those three are my three biggest influences channel-wise. But one movie I'm very worried about in the MCU slate is Thor.
Thor Love and Thunder?
Yes. Yeah. Taika, as much as I loved Ragnarok, seems like the kind of guy who's going to
Well, he didn't write Ragnarok.
Didn't he?
So, yeah, he just directed it.
Right, well, he's writing Love and Thunder.
Exactly, which I can see can be a cause for concern.
Yeah.
So it might like go off the rails a little bit, but he wrote Jojo Rabbit. So
yeah, but the way he's describing Love and Thunder is worrying. In that I recall a tweet he put out or a statement he put out saying it's like we let a bunch of 10-year-olds give us their ideas and just said yes to everything. And I'm just thinking, oh no.
I take those comments with a grain of salt. I mean, especially with Taika, he's probably like joking.
Yeah.
Like, but who knows?
Again, I'm gonna see it.
Same.
There's none of these movies that I'm just gonna not see.
If it's MCU, I'll watch it.
Yeah, the last Marvel movies, the only Marvel movies I have just skipped were Fantastic and Dark Phoenix.
Well, those are Fox movies.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Dark Phoenix yet.
Or the New Mutants. See it. New Mutants.
I'll probably watch
good.
It. If it ends up on Disney Plus, I'll watch it.
I do recommend New Mutants, but that's neither here nor there. So the final thoughts, I guess, though, just to bring sort of back on the topic, as we've kind of gone in all directions talking about comic movies as a whole, and that's all
right.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm just, if you like the Snyder Cut, that's okay. I don't want to tell you not to. But what I want to tell you to do is to be nice to people.
Can't we just all get along?
Yeah, can't we just all get along? If Marvel and DC are both doing movies, that's just better. Nobody
one day,
has to win.
I have a dream that one day Snyder fans, MCU stans, Raimi stans, and I don't and
the five people who liked the Fantastic Four Fox films.
Yeah, I wish we would all hold hands and run
sing.
Through the field together and sing.
And it would be beautiful.
Yes.
I don't think we're ever going to get there.
No,
I have
especially
friends,
with Twitter.
I have friends who, after Fandome, sent me this meme or whatever, and there's like, DC's the king now. I'm like, we don't need to have a king. Like, nobody's, this isn't a fight. Like,
anybody who likes comics likes both. I don't know anyone who reads comics that doesn't at least read something at Marvel and something at DC.
I'm currently only reading Marvel because I just got into reading comics again, but I still am buying Three Jokers.
But I'm sure you have on your shelf like Dark Knight Returns or something. Like
I have.
You have
a
Batman comic.
I have Under the Red Hood. I have Three Jokers. I love DC. I love Batman. I love Superman. I love the Justice League. I love Flash. Like if you're. You're watching this, you see, I've got the Batman figure on my shelf. I'm wearing the Batman shirt right now, guys. I like both. But there's
absolutely.
So many people who, and I get it, the MCU is very cookie cutter right now. Or at least it has been. The new slate has me hopeful.
I think
that
some of their titles are a little cookie cutter, like Ant-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd say, like, Endgame and Infinity War are, like, pretty inventive movies.
Those were great.
I don't know.
And the upcoming slate, I mean, Multiverse of Madness, Blade, Eternals.
Nothing has me, like, super excited coming up in the MCU.
But they all look
honest.
Somewhat innovative.
Mm-hmm.
They all look like it's a new direction. And I mean,
Sam Raimi doing a full-on horror film, PG-13 horror film, I'd assume.
That's going
to
be fun.
Sounds exciting.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's the guy who brought us Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you...
And Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah. I trust him to do that well. I trust that he is going... If they give him enough free reign, it's going to be great. Eternals should be a fun watch. I don't know enough about the characters to judge, but I know Black Knight's going to be in it, and I love Black Knight.
Yeah.
And then the Disney Plus shows. I'm excited for those. Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision... Even Loki, all of these are going to be at least pretty good.
I agree.
You know,
and you can get weirder with it because they're shows.
Yeah. And in DC is going to have an interesting slate of movies, right?
Like, I think DC, more than Marvel, are killing it on the TV side. Like,
oh,
the CW shows are great.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't watch them, but I hear that they're awesome, and people like Crisis. So
yes, no, and that's, and
Doom Patrol is amazing. I do watch Doom Patrol,
and that's always been, I think, what everybody can kind of agree on, is Marvel rocks it on the silver screen, DC rocks it on a small screen.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel,
especially animated.
Oh gosh, Marvel can't get their crap together with an animated show.
They used to.
Well, the worst part is every time they did get their crap together, we got like two seasons, and they're like, nah, yeah, let's make it worse.
Well, X-Men Evolution, my personal...
That one's good.
That and Spectacular Spider-Man are probably my two personal favorite.
Lindsay and I have been watching Spectacular Spider-Man, and we're partway into the second season. We're just about to get to the Return of the Sinister Six. Great arc, by the way.
Nice.
The Master Planner arc in that season was good.
Yeah.
But she's already upset that there's not a third season. I'm like, yeah. And in the third season, we get Hobgoblin and Scorpion, like two of my favorites. Oh my
God. What, right? We could have gotten in a Spectacular.
We could have gotten Carnage.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody talks about that. We're always thinking about
Hobgoblin. You could always watch the 90s show.
That was good, though. I did love that. And
They did Venom and Carnage like better than anyone.
They did. And little known fact, they're the ones who innovated the symbiote amping up Spider-Man's aggression.
Yep.
Right.
The movies copied it.
The movies copied that. The comics even later copied that. Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, Sal talks about this all the time.
Spider-Man copied that.
We're going to plug Comic Pop again. Sal talks about it all the time that initially the suit just kind of took him for rides. No, 94 series brought that into continuity. And they're like, hey, do the thing. Carnage was so creepy. I just finished my rewatch of that series. Carnage was so creepy.
Mm-hmm.
For a children's show.
They made him genuinely creepy in the show.
Without actually explicitly saying, hey, I'm a murderer, they made him terrifying.
Wasn't the Green Goblin played by Mark Hamill? Or was it the Hobgoblin?
Hobgoblin was.
That was pretty solid.
It is. And I didn't realize that until this most recent rewatch. I'm like, why does he sound like the Joker? Yeah. Is this Mark Hamill, or is someone doing a Joker impression? And no, it was Mark Hamill.
They also kind of do the Hobgoblin saga, where it's like, is it Felicia Hardy's boyfriend, or is it some other guy?
Oh, yeah, no.
They kind of do the mystery a little bit.
He's a mystery until near the end of the fourth season.
Yeah. Been a long time since I watched that in full.
It's on Disney Plus. Strongly recommend it to anybody.
I've watched select episodes of it, like, since I got Disney Plus.
I'm rewatching the X-Men series in script order now. It's much tighter in script order than it was in airing order, because things are actually happening in a way that makes sense. I'm like, oh, this is a much better show. But no, my biggest loss, even almost more than Spectacular, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah, that was a big one. When did that originally air?
I think it was 2010, 2011. Or 2011 through 2012.
I wasn't really watching any superhero stuff then. I was late on the MCU, actually.
Have you seen Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
I have now, yeah.
Yeah, I recommend that to everybody. Everyone is so note perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Every character. Even Hulk is, you know, he's a loner, but him and Banner want to make him a hero. Iron Man wants to just try and save the world, but he can't. Captain America is the Boy Scout, right? Mm-hmm. Ant-Man is insecure and doesn't want to fight, but just wants so badly to be accepted.
It's Hank Pym?
Yes. Yes. Hank Pym gets an adaptation where he isn't a tool and he doesn't hit his wife.
Yeah.
The
movie's managed to do that too, so.
He's a tool, though.
Props. He is kind of a tool.
I love Michael Douglas, but he's a tool.
Yeah.
Jan is great. She's just this wonderful ray of hope constantly throughout the show. They do Carol Danvers awesome.
Yeah.
They even do Secret Invasion. Like, they had the guts to just be like, we're doing Secret Invasion. Go.
Mm-hmm.
They did Kang.
They did, like, the whole, like, Korvac saga, right?
Yes! Oh.
Yeah.
Korvac was... That was nuts. Bringing in the Guardians.
Yep.
I was going to title this episode the Snyder Cut, but I'm just going to have to title it something entirely different because we've gone so far off the rails.
Gone so many tangents.
But there's so much to talk about when it comes to comics in
mm-hmm.
television and film. I've heard the Harley Quinn show was great. I haven't seen an episode
of it. It is.
But I've heard wonderfully
I loved about both it. Of it. I like binged that shit in like 2 days.
Wow.
It was such an easy binge.
I've heard what else?
And I cursed. You can bleep me.
That's fine. You get one. We're PG-13. You know.
Okay.
I don't mark this content as child friendly.
And we're well in the 1 minute mark. However that works.
Yeah. This. You're fine. I've heard Stargirl was great. My dad watched that, and
Stargirl was awesome.
I might have to watch it. I might have to just binge it, honestly. I'm a sucker for some JSA.
Yep.
JSA, to me, the Justice League is not DC's Avengers. The JSA is.
Mm-hmm.
The Justice League feels like this loose collective of superheroes who it's like, well, the universe is screwed because Darkseid's back. I guess we'll do this. Also, we have a space station. But, you know, only the Flash and Green Lantern are really excited to be here. Everyone else is busy. Well, it's like how they were in Throne of Atlantis, where Cyborg is, like, really into it, but everyone else is just, yeah, whatever. It's like, yeah, that's the Justice League.
I always thought Cyborg was a really weird addition to the Justice League.
I liked him in that.
And at least in the New 52, it always felt like kind of forced.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, I think he's supposed to be like that you know, self-insert character where you're like, oh, he's younger and, you know, big and wide-eyed. But
I always thought that about like Flash. About, you know what I mean? Like Flash is kind of your like self-insert character.
And I think we feel that way because of the Justice League show, mm-hmm. where they used Wally West.
Yeah.
Barry Allen is not that.
Well, that was my Justice League. It was like Morrison Justice League, where it was like Wally, Flash, like Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern. And
Kyle Rayner does not get nearly enough credit as Green Lantern. Like, let's just say
he's my personal favorite Green Lantern.
He's so. When I was a kid, I judged every superhero by how cool their costume was. So for me, Hal Jordan, I'm like, no, you look like I don't like you. Jon Stewart, I was like, no, there's too much black. Kyle Rayner, though, with the white chest and the cool, like, armored faceplate and the gauntlets. I'm like...
Well, he's pure 90s.
That's a comic character, right? Yeah.
He's got, like, the Sean from Boy Meets World haircut.
Oh, 100%.
With, like, middle part.
Oh, yeah. Kyle Rayner, like, you want to punch him in the face now.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was so cool.
He looks like he would wear a chain wallet.
And puka shell necklace.
Yeah.
You know, he's like in his 40s, but still hits on high schoolers. That's Kyle Rayner. He's a graphic designer.
Graphic design is my passion.
You know, he only uses Photoshop.
Yeah.
Refuses to touch anything else. Like, hey, how about Adobe After Effects? No, shut up. Photoshop for life. Only on his, like, MacBook Air. That's it. Kyle Rayner. Can we just reinvent Kyle Rayner as like a hipster artist?
You could do that.
Like, give him a solo run as a hipster artist.
I'd read it.
It'd be really funny. And he just has to have the willpower to not order pumpkin spice. That's it. That's the book. I think this line of conversation indicated we're so far off the rails.
Yes.
I guess my final point.
Call it Kyle Rayner's a hipster. That's the same.
That's it. There, put that in fantasy pitches. hire me, DC. I'm a great writer. Yeah. Kyle Rayner's a hipster. His Green Lantern outfit is a flannel.
Yeah.
It's a green flannel. black skinny jeans, a green flannel.
That sounds like my everyday outfit.
Right. It's basically what I'm wearing right now, minus the flannel.
I have shorts on, but yeah.
He just has a Green Lantern graphic t-shirt on underneath the flannel. That's it.
I have a Daniel Johnston shirt, so I'm amping up the hipster right now.
Exactly. No, but yeah. Snyder Cut. be nice. Go watch animated shows. They're great. Do not listen to Zack Snyder about Saturday morning cartoons.
Yes.
Saturday morning cartoons slap.
Watch Justice League. Watch Justice League Unlimited. Yeah. Watch Batman the Animated Series. Watch all of them.
Watch Wolverine and the X-Men. Watch X-Men Evolution. Watch the Marvel 90s shows. All of them. I mean Silver Surfer, Iron Man. All of it. Some of them are terrible, but they're a fun kind of terrible that fill you with nostalgia.
Yep.
It's great. After I'm done X-Men, I think Iron Man's next, then Hulk, then Silver Surfer. This is going to carry me for months. I watch them on the weekends while I eat breakfast. It's fun. You know, there's nothing wrong with Saturday morning cartoons, and please don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And please don't be the person telling people otherwise.
I agree.
So Bubba, before you go, anything you want to plug for yourself, social media?
My Twitter is Bubba7012.
All right. You can find that link in the description. Go follow Bubba. Tell him how much you loved hearing him on the show. And thank you so much for coming to chat with us. We will probably have you back at some point. And this is a good first episode of Beyond the Panel.
Yeah.
And have a good one. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So that was our chat with Bubba on just, you know, the state of comic book media. I had a really fun time doing that. We were, like I said, just supposed to talk about Zack Snyder and the Snyder Cut, but we went off in so many other directions that we just completely lost track of ourselves. So I'm just going to check my phone because I've got the list of solicitations up at this point. And so we got our comic releases for September 23rd. That's this week. So we've got just, you know, a couple big hits. We got Action Comics 1025, Flash 762, Venom 28, which, of course, with King in Black coming up in December, as we talked about, might be a must-read for some of you. Daredevil 22, if you're really enjoying where Daredevil is going. Aquaman 63, Batgirl 49. Justice League Dark, I've been hearing really good things about. I am personally very excited for Immortal She-Hulk. I think that's a one-shot or a miniseries. I will definitely be picking that up. Immortal She-Hulk is something I'm definitely be picking up because, as I said before, I really do like She-Hulk. And I'm very, very, very excited to see what they do with her in the aftermath of Empire. Batman Beyond 47, I know that's coming to a close, so that's going to be a big one for a lot of people. And, of course, the headliner for all of this, for Marvel at least, is the beginning of X or Ten of Swords creation number one. I'm not sure if I'm going to be grabbing that. I don't know if this event's going to grab me. It hasn't so far. I find the X-Men continuity extremely dense after Hawks and Pox. So, who knows? I might go into it. I might not. So that concludes our first ever episode of Beyond the Panel. I hope you had as much fun watching it as I had making it. Like I said, we do have a Discord server. That link is in the description. It is the Fandom Fellowship Discord. It is super fun. We do movie nights in there weekly. This past week, most recently, I'm filming this on Thursday, so tomorrow night for me, but past Friday for you guys, we watched Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed, and Scooby-Doo by James Gunn. So that was a lot of fun, and coming up, we are probably doing Daredevil and Fantastic Four, as well as Coraline and Paranorman. We like to try and do double features, and I'm looking for a lot of Halloween-themed ones coming into the month of October, because Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. So yeah, definitely please check out the Fandom Fellowship Discord server. Come hang out with me and everybody else who's a fan of the channel. It's a great way to make friends. It's a great way to talk about comics. It's a great way to talk about video games and whatnot. Please check me out on Twitter, at the Colin Ginter. I'm same thing on Instagram. Check out our Twitch channel, www.twitch.tv/Fandom Fellowship. Make sure to also check out our co-hosts, Lindsay and Jared, on Twitter. All of those links are in the description. The link to where to get our music is in the description. That is sourced from a site that we have donated to in order to achieve licensing, which is why I use the wonderful music for our closing tag. So thank you guys so much for watching. I'm Colin. This is the Fandom Fellowship. Keep being a fan, and we will see you guys on the other side. Boom. Thank you guys so much for listening. As previously mentioned, of course, we are on Twitter. I'm on Twitter as @TheColinGinter, and we're on Instagram @Fandom_Fellowship. Thank you so much to Anchor for being our lovely and delightful podcast host. And thank you to our social media team, to everybody. You can check out our Discord server as well. We're Fandom Fellowship there. And yeah, if you have any questions, please feel free to hit us up on Twitter. Once again, my Twitter is at TheColinGinter. And check us out on Twitch, www.twitch.tv/fandomfellowship. And like I said before, thank you so much for being a fan. And we will see or hear you on the other side. Bye.